Amen.
Thank you, Ms. Bhatia. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Glory to God. He's so good.
Yes.
We rejoice in all that He's done.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And thank you all for being so faithful with your giving. We so appreciate it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, God doesn't, He doesn't measure faithfulness in weeks. He measures it in years.
In years. Yeah.
And, you know, I've had different ones through the years, different ones become frustrated because they see in the Word they're to be blessed. But, you know, I've talked to different ones and they say, well, why isn't it working? Why am I not seeing that? And, you know, sometimes you're able to explain and show and teach different ones. Sometimes you realize in your heart, even if you told them the answer, they're really just going to get mad at you.
Right.
They're not going to receive the answer.
Yes.
But this one person in particular I'm thinking of, they were distraught over this fact. But I also knew from them in times past that they had told me that their cycle in their Christian walk had been to be in church for a little while and then to pull out for a little while and to be in for a little while and to pull out for a little while and to tithe for a little while and then to stop tithing for a little while. And I knew this gal's answer. And yet I also knew she wouldn't receive that answer.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. So I said, well, you're going to have to get with the Lord on that,
yeah.
You know, and ask Him.
Yeah.
But God measures that faithfulness when He sees that faithfulness Sunday after Sunday, week after week,
yes.
Year
yes,
after year. And the increase comes sometimes so we don't recognize it. So I appreciate verses like Deuteronomy 26, which reminds us, We're giving to give thanks.
Yes.
We're giving in a response. Praise
yes.
the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we've been ministering the past many weeks now on something that Reverend Joel brought to us last month, and that is in 2024, I'm increasing more
and more.
And more.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Seems like we should have a saying on there, but, you know, maybe somebody will do that this week. In 2024, I'm increasing more
and more.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because there's a reason. Because He's that big and He's that good. Yeah, yeah. So we've been ministering along these lines of increase. And it's always fun when God gives us a word like this, as we said just a minute ago, because those words that God speaks to you, and we call this word like a prophetic word, meaning you can find scripture about increase in the word, but this was given to my husband through the Holy Spirit,
right,
speaking to his spirit. And because of that, we call that word a word of prophecy. It's just something given by the Spirit, a word, you know, a word that has come to us. And whenever those words are spoken out into this natural realm,
yeah,
opposition comes against those words.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And so when we see something in the Word, you know, it doesn't even have to be like a word that someone has spoken to us or that we've received from the Holy Spirit ourselves. It can be something we see in the Word that, like we were just talking about that gal who saw in the Word that, you know, she is supposed to financially be blessed and increase in the things of this natural realm monetarily. We can see that in the Word that my God shall supply.
Yes.
All our need according to yes. His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When we read those things and that becomes real to us, immediately, almost, if not immediately, soon thereafter, there will be challenges to that response. How many remember when Jesus was ministering and he talked about the parable, we call it the parable of the sower, right? Where the sower was sowing seed into the ground and it went into different types of ground, right?
Yeah.
Some went into thorny ground, rocky ground. There was only one part of the seed that went into good soil. And because this seed was sown into different types of ground, it produced different results. Meaning only one kind of dirt actually had good results. The rest of them, they all got wiped out. Wow. The enemy is going to see what kind of dirt you are, what kind of dirt you have, what kind of heart you're tending to. When those words come to your life, are you going to plant them on the inside of you? Are you going to tend to them and water them and help them to grow and to increase? Are you going to hold on to them when thorns try to choke them out, when the heat tries to wilt it, when a drought tries to come? Are you going to take care of those words and watch over those words in the face of what looks like it looks like those words will never come to pass? It looks like those words will never happen. It looks like you're further away from those things than you were before it was said.
Yeah. That's right.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
So that's why, you know, before I knew some of these things, and so it's family here today, so we're just going to have some family time, but before I knew some of these things, I used to cringe when I'd hear prophecy. Of course, you all know we were with Brother Hagin for many years. After we graduated from Bible school, we stayed there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and my husband traveled with him. So we were in, or I was in, every major meeting that we had, that he had there in Tulsa. Of course, my husband traveled with him, was in all the major meetings that he had on the road, and I would go to some of those meetings as well. And there were times where Brother Hagin would get caught up in the Spirit. Of course, he was a prophet of God. And he would get caught up in the Spirit, and he would start to prophesy. Now, he was at a different level than most other ministers that I know of when it comes to the prophetic office. And so he would sit there. Sometimes it was so strong on him that he'd be like, bring me a chair, because he was falling over. It was so heavy, it would come. And this one time they rushed up and put a chair under him, and he sat there and he started to prophesy. I mean, he was not thinking of the natural realm. And he started to prophesy. And this happened a couple different times while I was there in the meeting, where he'd start to prophesy and talk about the next several years in a row.
Yes.
Wow.
He'd be like, 1994, this is going to be this kind of year. 1995 is going to be this kind of year. And he did that a couple different times while we were there.
Wow.
He would take 4, 5, 6 years out and start prophesying about what they were going to be. Now, they weren't super long necessarily, and very similar, honestly, to what we received about 2024. And yet, because I was young, not because he was wrong, but because I was young, I thought if he just said, for example, that 2024 was going to be, we were going to increase more and more. If he just said that, then it would just automatically come to pass.
Right.
And that then you'd go down the road a few weeks, a month or two, and things started to look worse than better.
Wow.
And I'd get like, what's wrong with the prophet? What's wrong with him? What's wrong with the word of the Lord?
Yeah,
what's wrong, Lord? Come on. And I didn't know. So that's why we're taking some time in these weeks and these months here to go over these things and realize when a word is spoken, as my husband has said to us sometimes, that means that is offered to us.
Right.
When we read scripture, when we read what's written in the word, he is showing us what he has made ready for us, right? What Jesus has made ready, what he's purchased for us. But we understand just by looking around at other believers and sometimes even at ourselves that we are not necessarily walking in all that he says we are to have.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Certainly when I got born again at age 18, I didn't know all that I know now.
Right.
Yeah.
And I suspect I don't know now all that I'm going to know 10 years from now.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a progression, but the progression is not on God's side.
Right.
It's on our side.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The progression is on our side to conform to his image, to look at his word and say, I believe what he says, not what I see.
Yes.
I believe what the minister or the prophet has spoken, not what I see. And so we need to be aware of these things, that when a word is spoken, our job is to grab hold of that, to like sink our teeth into that and not let it go.
Yeah.
No matter what comes up.
Right.
Matter that's of right. fact, when we see the enemy start to work to try to dissuade us, that's a good time to start laughing and realizing, oh, here we're on track now.
Yeah.
Now we're getting somewhere, because obviously we've hit a trigger point.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I was at an exercise class the other day, and sometimes they'll do they'll have little balls and stuff, when they'll make you do trigger point stuff, you know, where you push on a certain spot on your muscle. Oh my gosh, it is so painful. It's ridiculous. And I'm thinking, how is this good for me?
Yes.
How in the world, you know, they'll make you put it like on your calf and you have to lay down, or on your back, and you have to lay down on that muscle and then roll that little ball that's digging into you around. What that trigger point, that's trying to actually release tension in your muscle.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's painful when it happens.
Yes, it is.
And so what happens is, when a word's spoken and the enemy sees, we've taken that word. Well, we've hit a nerve with him. Because he doesn't want to see that coming to pass in our lives.
That's right.
And so he's going to start to put pressure. He's going to start to push on that, so that it almost seems painful to us.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It almost seems painful. It's, I didn't ask for this challenge. I didn't ask for this task. I didn't ask for more to do. But
right.
we need to realize and recognize, oh, this is just the enemy trying to pull me
yes.
off of what
yes.
was spoken, to pull me away and convince me that it's not true. Let's turn the scripture before I just go off here. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Praise the Lord. He's so good helping us today. I don't know that we're going to look at scriptures that we all should know. So we're not looking at anything new, but we're just reminding ourselves of what we need to be aware of. When we've received a word, when we receive something from the Spirit, you know, I'm using what was spoken to us about 2024 as an example, really. Not just putting that up, but anything that the Spirit ministers to you about you personally, or about your life, what's supposed to be happening, what you're going to be seeing coming ahead. And he will minister those things to us. These are things we need to write down, we need to hold on to,
yes. yeah.
and understand that the enemy will try to dissuade us. He'll try to get us distracted. He'll try to pull us off, convince us that that's not so. He might say, well, that word is for somebody else. You know, Pastor Amy, Reverend Joel, they might be able to do that, but you can't because of this, this, and this. And the enemy's good at listing everything you can't do. And why you can't have it. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might.
Yeah.
Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So here we see something. We see that the devil has schemes. The devil has strategies. It's really no different than the strategies he used with Adam and Eve and every other person that's been on the planet that's been recorded in the scriptures. He's going to try and talk you out of what God has given or God has said. That's what he did with Eve and Adam, right? Did God really say? He's going to throw doubt at God's integrity and at God's word. He's going to try and cut God's word down in your mind. And so it's a scheme. It's a scheme. He has it's the same scheme every single time.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And he says that we, in order to be able to stand against these, withstand, we could say, these schemes, we're going to have to put on some armor. We're going to have to be prepared for these things.
Yes.
And then verse 12 says this. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." How many times have we looked at this scripture? But I need to hear it over and over. "But against the rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." And then he goes on to say again, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm."
Yes.
So he's repeating himself twice about this armor of God thing. There's something that we're supposed to be putting on, that we're supposed to be walking around with. How many know if somebody walked in here today with a suit of armor on, like a knight, right? A medieval, yes. We would recognize that, wouldn't we? It would be very obvious. Now, if we had a policeman walk in and they had on a vest, you know, a bulletproof vest underneath their uniform, it might not be as obvious.
Sure.
But even so, it's pretty apparent who they are when they walk in, right?
Yes.
They've got some bulk to them, right? There's something else besides just them coming into the room when they have armor on. Nowadays we have to have these cars that are full, you know, full on armored cars, right? And they have them for shootings and different things, you know, different occasions where they bring in these cars that, you know, can withstand enemy onslaught, right? Bullets or whatever. And of course, you know, in a real war, you'd have tanks. You know, they withstand the onslaught of the enemy. Well, as Christians, we are to be walking around every day with some armor on.
Yes. Amen.
But it's interesting because, you know, we Christians, we like to do some goofy things sometimes. And, you know, I've heard people, you know, talking about, you know, every day they get up and they pretend to put on the armor, right? They pretend to put on the gospel of peace and they pretend to put on the helmet of sin. He's not talking about literally going through motions of putting on physical armor, right?
Right.
He tells us what he's talking about.
Yes.
In verse 12. But we don't wrestle against what?
Flesh and blood.
Tell me what flesh and blood is. People.
Yeah.
Other people.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. The enemy uses other people.
Yes, he does.
I don't have to convince you of that. Anyone who's lived on this earth can realize that some people yield to the enemy.
Yeah.
Right? Anytime they become unreasonable, they start to nitpick on a certain subject and won't drop it. And you know, or they decide that you've done something that you didn't actually do, and they just keep going and going and going. Well, understand, it's not them per se. It's that person yielding to the enemy who's been planting it in their brain.
Yeah.
And pegging them all, you know, they did this, until they're starting to rehearse it. Praise the Lord. So we don't wrestle against people, and yet people can sometimes be a part of the problem, part of the adversity that's coming against us, that's the people can be part of the reason we're not seeing the word of God that we received come to pass. Not just people. It can be hot water tanks. It can be all kinds of things, right? That decide to just explode or implode, or things just, you know, we have a business that has to do with some transportation stuff. And, you know, it's always fun when things just start mechanically flying in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So there's lots of ways, strategies that the enemy has. One of the main ways is he uses other people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what he wants us to do is never recognize that it's him. Just think that it's these people. If I could just get rid of these people, if I could just get this situation out of here, I'd be all set. But we are not wrestling. We're not to wrestle with flesh and blood. In other words, we're not to go at it with other people. We're not to combat them, right? Obviously, we're not supposed to start throwing fists, but most of us, we use our words. You know, we start talking, I don't know why they're doing this, blah, 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 you know, and they start talking either to the person or about the person. Yeah. We're not to do that, but we are to do something. And really what we're talking about is how to, what do we do when this attack of the enemy comes? My husband, he did a series one time, says how to act when you get attacked.
Yeah.
Right? We need to know what to do when we see these things come up.
Yeah.
We need to know the steps, so to speak. And you can put in the steps that you want to do, but we're just going to kind of generally talk about these things so that you have an idea. Number one, you need to be able to recognize the enemy.
Yeah.
And that's really the first step. In what to do when you're attacked is realize this is an attack. And that might sound strange, but I don't know how many times something has come up in the past where it just seems like, you know, maybe something came up with my kids or something was going on. And it just like, you know, it took, forgive me for being thick headed, you know, but it took me sometimes months and months to realize, wait a second, that's just not my kids acting goofy, or that's not just this going on. That's the enemy trying to work into our family by planting different people in their lives or different thoughts in their head, and it's taking the whole family in a direction it doesn't need to be. And the first thing, when attacks are coming, the first thing we need to realize is this is an attack.
Yeah.
So number one, we've got to recognize. We've got to recognize that we're not wrestling with people. This is not a people problem. This is not just a situational problem. This is actually the enemy attacking. And so we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but there is something we are wrestling. Now, to wrestle with, I don't know, my kids used to pretend to wrestle once in a while, right? Mm-hmm. It's physical.
Yeah.
Right? That you're actually involved in this process. And so it says we don't wrestle against other people. We're not going after other people. But there is something we are against. Again, Christians tend to take some things that aren't supposed to be literal. They take them literally. And there was a season, a decade or so, where people decided, okay, we've got to wrestle against the enemy, the devil. And so they would put on fatigues. I'm not joking. I have witnesses. They would put on fatigues and they would war in tongues. They would come together and speak in other tongues and wrestle against the enemy. The only problem is the reason we speak in other tongues is because it's a heavenly language. The devil doesn't understand it.
Yeah.
So you can't war in tongues against the devil.
Right.
Praise the Lord. So we ought to understand when he says we're wrestling against principalities, it just means that there's action involved. And one of the first actions for us to be involved in is recognizing this is the enemy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not another person. This is not just another situation. But this is the enemy causing thing after thing after thing to go wrong. And so if we're not actually getting in fatigues and wrestling a devil, thank God we don't have to do that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You understand that Jesus already defeated the enemy, right?
Right.
That we are victorious because of him. He already purchased the victory. We are already the head, not the tail. But the enemy, all he can do is throw strategy, throw things in our way to try and get us to trip, to bump, to lose focus of what the Lord has said to us. And so this is his continual occupation.
Yeah.
So try to trip us up. But we don't have to physically go in there and get Mr. Devil and try and pull him off. Okay? It says... Let's start with verse 10 again. We're reading this because our answers are in the verses that are surrounding
yes.
this verse.
Yeah.
Finally, be strong in what?
The Lord.
In the Lord. Not in fatigues. Right. Not in worrying in tongues. Be strong in the Lord. What does that look like? And then it says, put on the strength of his might. How do we become strong in the Lord? Not a trick question. How do we become strong? The Word. We read the Word, right? And then in prayer, we talk to the Lord. We fellowship with the Lord. We put the Word of God in our mouth. It's the same things we preach every single week, right? It's no different. No fatigue's necessary. I mean, if you like camouflage, go for it. But, you know, it's not necessary.
Yeah.
What's necessary is the strength of God.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes. And we've read these verses before. That whole armor of God, what's it talking about? It's talking about walking in peace. Understanding who you are in Christ.
Yes.
It's talking about knowing the gospel. It's, you know, it's talking about this truth being strapped around your life,
yes.
belt of
yes.
truth, right? That these are things that, these are core foundational beliefs that we need to remain strong in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we see the enemy start to ramp up his attacks in our lives, we need to recognize that, and we need to make sure that every day the first thing we're doing is becoming strong in the Lord, staying strong in what we know is true. And if praise the Lord, preaching to me, if like five different things go awry in 5 days, you've got to be able to look at it and say, the Lord said in 2024, we're increasing more. And more. And you've got to be able to withstand the enemy by being strong in what the Lord has already said. God will always give us our answers ahead of time. That's what prophecy is. It's giving you your answer ahead. I don't know that I've ever said it that way, but that's exactly what it is. Doesn't mean that, oh, we can walk out and say, oh, yay, increase, woohoo, that's great. We're going to go watch Netflix. Well, the increase comes.
Amen. Amen.
Not against watching Netflix once in a while, that's fine. But understand that's not the reason for prophecy.
Right.
It's not just so we can get excited about something.
Right.
It's an answer. It's a decree of what God has for us in our lives if we'll take a hold of it, if we won't let go of it, if we'll be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and recognize the schemes of the enemy that are about to come.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
So back in the day when Brother Hagin would get up and start to list year after year, the first time that happened, it was really exciting because the first year he listed off, it was supposed to be a really good year. And I waited, and 3 months or so, nothing happened. 6 months, things look worse. 9 months, we're getting in the hole. And I'm like, oh, that didn't work for us. Maybe next year. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what happens is, if you get enough people in a church that believe incorrectly, they'll start to say, they'll talk against the man of God, first of all. And then they'll talk about the whole movement of God. And say, you know, these things of these spiritual things aren't real. They don't ever work. And then they'll say faith doesn't work, right? And it's this downward spiral of things. Why? Because they didn't realize what a prophecy is for. And that we have a part to play in taking care of it. So our part, we have to put on the armor of God. We have to grab a hold of this word and not let it go when the enemy comes bringing whatever he brings. This is not to because what would happen was when Brother Hagin would start to prophesy anything, I'd be like, oh boy, here we go again.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, I would never say that to another human being at that time. It's my mind thinking, right? My mind thinking, oh, here we go. It's going to get worse. Never occurred to me, never really occurred to me that it was the enemy hearing this as much as me, and he's going to do everything he can to discourage me from believing what the prophet has just said. And so I had to get out of my out of this rat race of my mind and realize, wait a minute. I'm supposed to recognize when, and I'm not wrestling against this stuff that's going on. That's just stuff, and it's so easy to get over it and through it and around it and work with it when you're standing in the power and might of God. So the first thing that has to happen is we need to be, I like this word, we need to be spiritually aware. Spiritually aware. In the Old Testament, we see that word, we are to watch in the Spirit, right? We are to watch in the Spirit, meaning when a word's given forth and we start putting it in our mouth, we need to be active. Actively watching and actively looking to the Spirit when things start to come up.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
What's that about? Because there's times where the enemy will throw everything he can at you, and we need to know spiritually how to deal with these things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There are some attacks where you just get a bunch of boxes and you pack things up and you just go forward.
Yep. Yep.
And you say it'll be better than it was before.
Yes.
Yep.
Better than it was.
There's things, you know, there's some attacks where you're just like, whatever, devil. You know, it's just money. Whatever. God supplies all my needs and we're just going to get to the other side of it.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
There's other things that when it comes to other people, well, we don't wrestle against people. So we know we're not just directing our words to people. But we need to take care of the situation because that person is yielding to what? The enemy. So how do we do this? When we recognize spiritual activity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning demonic activity going on. And this isn't, we're not to get weird. This is not, we're not always looking for demons, right?
Right?
And I know I say that because other people will listen to this as well as us, but...
Right.
But just to put it out there, this is not goofy. This is just reality.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
This is reality that in the spirit realm, there's God and then there's other beings.
Yep.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
And they both have activity going on.
Yep.
Yeah.
So let's look in 1 Peter. Well, first let's look in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Again, these are familiar verses to us. James chapter 4, verse 6 says this, but God gives more grace. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. And what? He will flee from you. And then verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So very interesting to me that in these little verses, he talks about not being proud, but being humble, right? And he talks about submitting yourself to God. And then in the middle of that, and then verse 8, he says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. In the middle of this talk about being close to God, drawing near to God, submitting to God, not being proud, but being humble, because he gives more grace to the humble. And in the midst of all this, he says, oh yeah, and resist the devil. So when we start to recognize the enemy being active in our daily lives, when we start to recognize people rearing up and doing, I mean, this works for any age, right? People, you know, kids can be ruthless, right? In school, they can, oh my Lord, they can be ruthless. What are they doing? They can be yielding to thoughts that the enemy is planting and just saying whatever comes into their head. We can recognize these things, and we can, I love how he says this, because there's a two-part process. We don't just rebuke the devil, right? But there's this process of drawing near to God, of humbling ourselves in the spirit, of, we could say this, watching in the spirit, of putting on the whole armor of God, right? Of spending time with God and saying, Lord, how do you want me to deal with this? The resisting the enemy part is our job. God doesn't resist the enemy for us.
Right. Right.
He doesn't resist the enemy for us. And as long as we allow the enemy's activity to go on in our lives, it will stay. Mm-hmm. That's why I say the first thing we need to do is recognize that it's the enemy. Because, you know, if he can dupe you into thinking it's just that person, it's just that situation, and that's not me, or it's not the enemy, then he can just continue. He can wreak havoc in our lives or in our businesses or in our situations. Sure. But this resisting the devil is sandwiched between submitting to God and drawing near to God. Mm-hmm. So it's a process where we have to come to the Lord and ask him, what am I to do about this person, this situation? What's going on? Praise the Lord. This might not seem very exciting, but oh my goodness, it's where the rubber meets the road as far as how to deal with daily life. So now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, just one book over. And then again, verse 5 of 1 Peter 5. Well, yeah. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Here we are again, talking about being humble, talking about receiving God's grace. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Then verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So again, almost the same wording as we see in James, meaning there's this idea of humbling ourselves, of submitting to God, and then resisting the enemy. These go hand in hand. The reason I'm going so slow over some of these things is because some have received instruction about how we're supposed to take authority over the devil, and they spend most of their day, and I am not joking, if you're around them for any period of time at all, you will hear them say, "Well, devil, we rebuke you in Jesus' name." If anything comes up, if they can't find a parking spot, "Devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name." And they do this, and devil, and they look goofy. They act weird. And are they actually getting anything accomplished? Besides looking goofy, which they have accomplished. We are to resist the enemy. But how are we to do that? We stand firm in our faith. Faith comes by what?
Hearing
from God. Thus, submit yourselves to God. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. When I see activity, evil activity, working in the situations in my life, you understand, He can't touch me. But He can stir up strife and things around to other that in other people that will yield to Him. When I start to watch and see, this is the enemy. The first thing I do, and this might go against some other teaching that's out there, but understand me. The very first thing I do is not rebuke the enemy.
Right.
The first thing I do, once I recognize that this is the enemy, I go to God. Lord, this situation is of the enemy. I can see that. And I'm just going to spend some time submitting to you, drawing near to you. I'm going to spend some time in your presence. And you help me know how to deal with this.
Yeah. Amen.
I want us to be effective in these things. Now, if you're in a plane and the plane's going down, rebuke the enemy. Don't take time to pray in other tongues.
Right.
Right? Yeah. You know, take this for what it is. If you have the time and you just start to recognize, you know, they're trying to infiltrate into my family. Those people are trying to stir this up. Well, I don't just start rebuking and going out and talking against the enemy. Praise the Lord. I hope this is making sense to people. The first thing I do is I draw near to the Lord. Lord, the enemy's at work here. And I'm asking for your assistance to know how to handle this. And the first thing I want to do is make sure that I have the whole armor of God, that I'm firm in my faith, that I know what God has said to me. Lord, you told me in 2024 we're to increase, not less and less. You said more and more. And so I'm just going to spend some time building myself up in other tongues. I'm going to spend some time in the spirit realm with my Father. And I'm going to build that into me. And when I come out of my prayer closet, of my prayer time, when I come out of time with Him, where I've submitted to Him, drawn near to Him, and He's drawn near to me, when I come out of that place, I say, "Now, devil, you take your hands off of my property in Jesus' name. And you who has been, you, that demon that's been influencing that so-and-so's mind, I tell you in Jesus' name, leave, desist, stop." I still do the resisting. I still tell the enemy to stop. But I do it from a place of whole armor. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I've come out of the presence of God sometimes while I'm still in prayer. And you know, those of you who come to Tuesday nights, there's times where I'll say, "Now, devil, you take your hands off of that." Why? Because I'm in God's realm. And it's easier to see the activity of the enemy and exactly what he's up to when you're in that realm than when you're just in the natural putting away dishes and say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name.
Right.
The devil loves when people just spew stuff out because it's not coming from a place of authority. It's not coming from a place of who you are in Christ.
Amen.
It's just coming from a place of, I heard somebody else say this, and so I'm going to parrot it and hope it that it works. Yeah. You remember when Jesus came up to a situation and there was a demon-possessed boy, and the parent comes up to Jesus and said, I brought him, my son, to your disciples to cast out the demon, but they couldn't do it. Yeah. Can you do something? And Jesus was like, I've been teaching you guys for years and you still can't get this done? And he rebukes the devil. The devil comes out of the boy and he goes over and the disciples are like, how'd you do that?
Yeah.
What'd you do? We tried that. It didn't work. And he said, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard lots of different ways, takes on that. You know, yes, it's okay to fast once in a while if you're prompted to.
Right.
But what's he saying? From this realm of the Spirit, from drawing near to God, him drawing near to you, coming out of a place where you know you've got the whole armor of God, you know who you are in Christ, and you've been prompted by the Spirit to deal with that thing. And you come out and you say, in Jesus' name, I don't know that Jesus did it in his name. Maybe he did. He would just rebuke the devil. Never thought of that. I'll have to study that one out. But he just come out and you are know what to do, what to say, how to take care of it.
Yeah.
And it's powerful because it's backed by heaven.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he's not saying that there's certain things that you have to fast. He didn't say fast 21 days and then you can rebuke, you know, then you can have a demon-possessed person released. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, do this, take care of these things from a place of the Spirit, from a place where you're standing firm in what you know and who you are in Christ. From Ephesians 6 place, the whole armor of God. That whole passage is getting us to the place where we can pray always. That's amazing. So I have no idea when I got started, so I should probably wrap this up. But the first thing we need to do when we have these words that come to us, when we see something in the Word, when we know that we're headed towards a certain thing, we need to be able to recognize when the enemy's attacking.
Yep.
You understand, sometimes tires just blow.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't pay attention to it, right? So
not
everything is the devil, in other words, okay?
Right.
So we're not devil conscious, like, oh, that's the devil. It's a devil. It's a devil. And I say that because there's people that are like that.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Bless
right.
their hearts.
Yes.
And we probably all met them at some point.
Oh, yes.
And if you just focus on the devil, you're never going to get to what God has for you because you're always focused on the enemy.
Yeah.
The enemy loves to distract, and if he can get you to just say all day long, give him praise. It's the devil. It's the devil. It's the devil. Fine. He'll take that praise. He'll go as long as you don't realize how to take care of the situation and rebuke the enemy.
That's right.
Effectively.
Yeah.
And so we have to be able to recognize. And then I submit to us all that when it comes to resisting the enemy, the first thing we should do is get to the spirit realm with God. With God, right?
Yeah.
Draw near to God.
Yes.
Submit yourselves to God.
Yeah.
Yes, we have to resist the enemy, but don't just do it off the top of your head.
Right.
Yep.
Where there's no power attached.
Right.
I might be plowing crossways to some other people that have preached this before. So just, you know, if you don't like this, spit it out. That's fine. Or put it on the shelf and look at it later.
Thank you, Lord.
But I want us to be effective in our walk and in our life and in the spirit realm. And for me, the most effective way to deal with the enemy is from a place of being in God's presence, in the Spirit, directed by the Spirit.
Yes.
I'm the one that resists, that rebukes. And that's what we see in James chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 5. I resist the enemy, right?
Yep.
And again, we don't do that with fatigues, camouflage. We don't do that with a machine gun. We don't have to rent a helicopter and fly over the city to tear down the strongholds, get to the high places. We don't need to do any of that.
No.
What we do need to do is get in the spirit realm with God.
Yes.
With God. With God.
With
the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And from that place, let Him direct us what to say, what to do. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We can see the effects of the enemy, but we can't always see exactly what he's up to.
That's right.
Right? If you throw a rock into the water, into a lake, right? Somebody might not see where that actually landed, but they can see ripples that come across, right?
Sure.
Because that expands. Sometimes you just see the ripples of stuff, but you don't see the actual center, what actually happened, okay?
Yeah.
So that's a reason we put on the whole armor of God. We come into our prayer time. We draw near to God. We spend time fellowshipping with Him, and He directs our paths. He helps us know what to rebuke, what to say. And we can come out of that time and say, devil, you take your hands off of my property in Jesus' name. And you have a level of authority because of who you just were with.
Right.
And that's how a demon-possessed person can be delivered. Yeah. That's why Jesus said, it comes out by prayer and fasting. You've got to spend some time. You've got to know where you're coming from.
Amen.
You're not just putting your dishes away and rebuking the devil.
Come on. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We don't want to be goofy. We want to be effective.
Yes.
We want to be effective. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. And understand this. You can rebuke the enemy. He can take his hands off of certain situations, but it can take some time for those situations to turn around.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
to settle down.
Yeah.
That's true.
To make the right adjustments, especially because people are involved most of the time.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And people can be squirrely in their brain. And so sometimes we might take authority over a situation, and then a few days later we're in prayer and he deals with us, do it again. But I just did that. No, if he deals with you, you do it again. But you don't just continually keep doing it because you're scared. From a place of fear, or, you know, I don't see it working, so let's try it again. Because now we just moved out of faith. Right? And we've nullified what we did.
Yeah.
Oh, there was a lot in here today. I hope it's not too too over our heads or too incoherent. But I don't know about you, we've experienced some fun things the past few weeks, and we understand where it's coming from. We understand why it's coming. So those things don't scare me, but we still need to be able to be effective in negating, nullifying, stopping those ill effects.
Yes.
And it's not just by spewing stuff off from the top of our head,
Amen.
But it's from this place of Ephesians 6, getting in the Spirit, spending time with Him, feeding on the truth, knowing the truth, having the Word of God in our mouths. And there's more, maybe we'll get to this next week. There's more to say about that. But But being able to direct and rebuke the activity of the enemy from a place in him is the most effective way to take care of him. And so we'll get lots of practice this year.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And that's okay. That's okay. So now when a prophecy comes forth, I grab it. That's why I've ministered on this for about 6 weeks now. It seems like, I don't know if it's been, because now I grab that baby with both hands. I pack it in my spirit. I put it in my mouth. I look and actively feed on scriptures that tell me, that back up what God has said through the man of God, so that, because I already know what's about to happen when the word comes forth. And I don't get discouraged or upset anymore. Now I'm like, roll up my sleeves, let's go. We're putting this baby in gear. Because the enemy will come. That's his only job. It's the only thing he knows how to do. So he's gonna do it. But we can plow right past this stuff if we know how to do it.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. Why don't you stand to your feet? Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your help today in revealing to us your plans and your purposes. Thank you for helping us to become accurate in our walk with you in the realm of the Spirit. Thank you for helping us to become accurate in our dealings with the enemy. Thank you for leading us and guiding us and showing us as we draw near to you, as we submit to your plans and your realm. We thank you for your direction and your help in the Spirit to deal with that which we need to deal with on earth.
Thank you.
We're so thankful for your help.
Yes.
We're so thankful for all that you've shown us in your word. Teach us, lead us, guide us, help us, as I know you will. In Jesus' name, amen.